The Evolve Network is now live at evolvenetwork.tv. Subscribe for meal plans, recipes, cooking shows, and our very own The Magic Pill and The Magic Plant, as well as access to my favourite documentaries. The Evolve Network is also home to our full library of podcasts, with new release podcasts airing first and in full on the channel. You can also watch selected vodcasts in a video format. Meanwhile, enjoy this highlight of our podcast and head over to evolvenetwork.tv for the full Evolve podcast experience. The Evolve with Pete Evans podcast is a conversation about my favourite ingredients for a healthy human experience. We take an informed look at topics that include nutritional and emotional well-being, as well as expanded consciousness. I love exploring the topics that are not traditionally taught at school and take a deep dive into them with my special guests. I invite you to sit back and come along for the ride with an open mind and heart, and please share with your family and friends, as these podcasts may just be the seed from which many things will flourish from. Cheers. We've been using Waters Co. water filters for the last 10 years, and I wholeheartedly trust my family's health with them. Waters Co., established 1977, have personal and domestic water filters, which turns your ordinary tap water into great-tasting, alkaline, ionized mineral water, which removes up to 99.9% of fluoride, heavy metals, chemicals, and bacteria, so you can love your tap water again. The Bio 1000 is the latest edition of the BMP 1000 model and the culmination of over 40 years of experience and research into water filtration by some of the world's leading scientists. Waters Co. was first to market with natural gravity-fed systems, creating alkaline water way back in 1984, and have continued to lead the market in research and development, setting the benchmark for all other brands to follow. Please go to my webpage, peteevans.com, to learn more and to receive your special discount from my link on the products page. You're going to love it. Laurie, thank you so much for joining us once again. How are you, sister?
Good. It's so good to be with you again. It's been almost a year.
It has been a year. And nothing's changed.
Nothing. It's all the same. Everything's exactly the same. Yeah, right? Holy cow. I was thinking, I think it's been almost a year since we first connected.
Yeah, and I don't usually prepare for any podcasts anymore or vodcasts or interviews because I just like to have a chat. But one word came to mind when I was typing in into the Zoom meeting, Laurie Ladd, dash, and then the word that came just then was trust.
Love it.
And I feel like we should start there because over the last year since we have chatted, there has been so much to digest, to assimilate, and to nourish, and then to release as well. So take us on the journey of trust for you, especially over the last year in the space that you work in. Have you had doubts?
Yeah, I mean, I think trust is the foundation of our evolution. Trust and surrender, I think, because what we are currently experiencing, what we have unconsciously been experiencing since the moment we came into the human body, is this evolution in our consciousness, this awareness or this awakening into who are we? What are we doing here? How do we do this, right? How do I think? How do I believe? How do I behave? All of these things. And, you know, we do this full circle of going into amnesia, forgetting who we are, believing everything that we're told in the external for most of us, right? Oh my God, everything is external. All of my needs are met externally. All my desires are met externally, et cetera, et cetera. Then we find ourselves coming back full circle to, oh, wait, it's all an illusion and everything is actually within me and always has been, right? So it's this really beautiful evolution and it's always a process and a journey. But what we find, if you think about trust, right? It's this inner knowingness. Trust is an inner knowingness. Trust is an inner resonance. Resonance is your own beautiful, unique signature, this vibrational pulse that you uniquely have, each of us. And the more that we awaken or evolve, the more that we are called back inward in order to reconnect and align to who we have always been, this energetic vibration or frequency. So we learn to trust it. We learn to let go of how we have trusted anything and everything externally, right? That's what we're learning. It's like, oh my God, I've put all my trust in all of these other individuals, systems, all of it. And it's always been about coming back to my own individual knowingness, surrendering to that. And the up and down battle of really figuring out what is that for me? What is my truth? What is my signature? What is my frequency? Right? Who am I? Who am I when I pull back from all of these external sources that have always told me who I am? I've been programmed, right? I've been programmed to believe that when I do dot, 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 I receive dot, dot, dot. When I think these things, I receive these things. If I look this way, I receive, like everything has been this program. So when you start detaching from the programs, you really start to have to come inward and say, wait a second. What do I believe? What do I think? What do I want? What's me? What is this? And that's absolute sovereignty. That's absolute sovereignty. And when you start doing that, your life slows down tremendously. I don't know about you, but the last couple of months, 2021, really, my life has slowed down so much. And I think that that's one of the things that we start to experience, many of us, when we come back home inward. And when we start to detach from this really busy, chaotic world that has almost kept us busy in order to not remember or to come back home to our power, our empowerment, because God forbid we should actually be sovereign humans, because then we will actually break free, right? We start breaking free and then the whole system starts to collapse, which is what we're doing right now. But it gets real quiet, right? We get real quiet. You know, the way into sovereignty is silence. In my opinion, if you want a quick solution into like, how do I eat, the quickest way to evolve, there's no such thing as quick, right? But let's just say you're like, I'm really, really, I want to evolve. I want to do this. Let's go. Let's go. Silence, just silence, right? Just sit with yourself in absolute silence as often as you can. And most of us can't do that. The one thing that can bring us deepest into our beingness, our light, source, God, whatever you want to call it, is the one thing that's the most challenging. Like sit on a couch, eyes open. This is really hard for humans to do. Sit on a couch or your bed or outside, right? Outside's easier because you're distracted by nature, okay? So do it inside your house. You're less distracted. Eyes open, 10 minutes. Every day, just sit. In the beginning, it's the most uncomfortable thing ever because you're not meditating. So sometimes meditation can be a distraction. Even that can be somewhat of a distraction from what is your pure absolute essence, because you're trying to do something or you're trying to find something or you're trying to feel something. Where when you just sit and you're just like, that magic happens. It's like the crazy, it's so weird because, and you're so uncomfortable, but that can bring you so quickly into this me over and over and over again. Do it for 30 days. Your life will change.
It's interesting. I'm listening to you and our dog is sitting on my lap and I was like, she does that every day.
And it will do it so well, right? They do it like the I mean, like your beautiful horses that you have, right? What do horses, where, what are they staring at? What are they looking at? Like, what are they, what, that's presence. Horses are an absolute presence, right? And they hold that presence. And so we're learning how to be in that presence, where presence is just this state of beingness that we can catch ourselves in every once in a while. It's this state of no thought, no belief, no nothing, right? It's just presence. It's just your beingness. And animals hold that all the time. They're just staring. They're in presence. That's why you feel so peaceful, right? When you're around these animals, these beings, because they're in absolute presence all the time.
Yeah, I mentioned to Nick yesterday. Saw our chiropractor. We were driving back, and we saw two kookaburras sitting on the power lines, and they just sit. They're not exactly hunting all the time, and even here on the farm, they just at the health retreat at the farm, we watch them and they fly in to our presence. Whether they do that on purpose, who knows, but they just fly in and we're aware of them, and they're such beautiful, beautiful birds. They're so powerful, and then they'll just sit on their branch. I said to her yesterday, I said, there's a sense of mischievousness with these birds. She goes, I don't get that. I said, yeah, maybe mischievous isn't the right thing, but it's like they want you to teach us something. And they're one of the only birds that I see that just sort of plonks itself on a tree branch or plonks itself on a fence and just sits and looks out for a long period of time. And I think that's why I'm so fascinated by them, because they're just this magical creature. Maybe they're not magical. Maybe they're just nature. Just being. Tell me about some of your encounters with animals. Do you believe that they hold messages for us? And how does that work with the people that you teach and encourage to connect with nature? What mysteries are there in the animal world and natural world that you like to explore?
Yeah, I mean, so the other night I saw this baby fox. It was like midnight and I was pulling into my house. This baby fox, I think it was a baby, maybe like an adolescent, and it was pretty small. And it comes walking up and it's all by itself and it's looking around. It sits and scratches its leg, it's just doing its thing, but it's acutely aware of everything, right? And I'm watching it, and you can feel with animals, if you tap into their energy, right, you can feel that they are embodied and they're sovereign. So like they are literally just being that expression. And when you're tapping into that, there's an awe. You're drawn to it. It's not just because you're seeing a fox. There's something else that you're drawn to. That absolute. They're only being them in that moment, right? And there's no distraction other than like, I hope I don't get killed. But like, they're just like being them. Their absolute presence. This sovereign. Oof. And this morning I saw a deer and like a little baby deer, right? And again, it's the same feeling. You're in awe of it because they are embodied completely. They're embodied. They are sovereign and they're grounded. And they're in a now state. All animals are in a now state or a presence state. They're just being and doing whatever is required in that now. That's all they're doing. That's it. And most animals are in higher states of consciousness. Even little spiders and ants that we look at and we think they're stupid, right? They're all birds. They're all in higher states of consciousness, which just means sovereignty, embodiment, grounded in the physical form that you came into. And present. So you're just experiencing whatever moment you're in fully in this this awareness of you're aware of your expression, your light, your power, your authenticity, this, as you are engaging with the entire quantum field. So you're not being absorbed by the quantum field. Like, these animals are not getting lost or changing themselves based on the quantum field, right? They are strictly just being in that presence. And so we always have a lot of us have this awe of, like, you kind of just stop and stare because there's something that they have that we don't have yet, but we have the ability to have it, right?
I love that we've the health retreat that Nick and I have just opened, we've had about 5 groups come through now. We take small groups of 8, and one of the groups was my mum, who's 80 years old, and hi, Joy, if you're listening. And we have a wild dingo that comes onto the property, and a dingo is a native Australian dog. And she comes onto the property maybe every day or two, or maybe not for a week, but then she'll make herself seen. And it was really interesting because when she showed up with my mum's group, my mum was crying. The second day that she showed up, I remember it because it was 6:30 in the morning. Mum was up having a cup of tea, and we've named the dingo Yindi. And she showed up, and my mum said to me, she goes, "I'm crying. I'm emotional about seeing this animal. I don't know why." Like, it's really brought out emotion for me. I said, "Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful?"
They're a reflection of who we are. So if you think about how we've been, you know, it's very courageous. Well, any physical form you incarnate into, it's courageous, right? Because you really don't know how your life's going to pan out, whether you're a dingo or a horse or an ant or a human, right? But if you think about the human journey, there's so much trauma. There's so much shaming. There's so much judgment. There's so much attachment, expectation. There's a lot that that we experience. And so what we don't realize sometimes when we encounter consciousness that's just present, i.e. they're just being them. So your mom doesn't look at the dingo and say, "Oh my God, that dingo is just being the dingo, and what a gift," right? Your mom's feeling the energy of that presence, realizing unconsciously how unpresent perhaps she may have been, disconnected from herself for so long. So presence is connection. It's connection to you. It's connection to the amazing, freaking awesome, individual, unique expression that we all are. Right. But because of all this trauma and all of these judgments, expectations, attachments, all of this stuff, we are pulled out of ourselves. We can't unconditionally love ourselves. The dingo's like, "Hey, I'm a badass. Like, check me out." Right. And it's got that. That's an energetic expression. You feel that energetically. Right. And so you're tapping into that. And if you have been wounded, like most of us, and in trauma and not connected, there is a resonance to that of like, "Oh, that's peace. That's beauty. That's presence," especially with horses. That's why I love Nick's posts that she does, because every time I see her post, I'm just like, there's something powerful about the remembrance that horses offer. A lot of animals do this, but they give you this like you're okay, right? Like, you're good. You're solid. Yeah, there's something real special about it.
Well, she's been loving it. She's been studying to become an equine therapist, because that's what she would love to be able to do out at the retreat down the track too, to offer horse medicine, if that's the right terminology, equine therapy, as it's known. And for anybody that isn't aware what equine therapy is, we'll look at bringing in somebody that can have a chat to us on the podcast about it, that does it as their profession in the future. So it's definitely on the cards, but we look forward to being able to offer that service and experience down the track. I wanted to ask you something, because this ties in with what was going on yesterday for me as well with the animal world and this human matrix is over the last year, I've been looking up at the sky a lot more often. And what I'm seeing, I'm conflicted by it and I'm disturbed by it. And I'm not usually disturbed by many things in the world. But what I'm seeing is whether it's weather manipulation, whether it's things being sprayed into the sky, it's gone beyond the point of no return now for me. So I cannot stop witnessing what is happening to the skies. And it challenges me so much because it's not like it's hidden. Like if only everybody looked up, they would see what is happening because it isn't natural, in my opinion. And then I look at the birds, I'm like, and the animals, I'm like, are you aware of what's going on up there? Or is this just a distraction for me? Is this just a distraction? And then I come to the point where, and this will go very deep, but am I manifesting this? Because we manifest everything into a reality. So I have been challenged by this over the last year or so because it seems to be becoming more prevalent. And I don't want to unsee it because that would be avoidance or, but at the same time, I feel despair as well. It's like, fuck, what's going on here? Without sounding like a crazy conspiracy theorist, and maybe I do sound like that at the moment, but and yesterday was the perfect example. And more people are starting to share this on my social media. They're taking photos all around Australia. And yesterday was the perfect example with this storm cloud. It was not natural in any way, shape, or form. And, yeah, I felt like I wanted to drop that onto you and see your intuitive advice on something like that. And you could replace that with vaccines. You could replace it with the financial system. You could replace it with government tyranny. You could replace it with glyphosate. You could replace it with so on and so on. So an overarching sort of theme on these types of things that we witness that, yeah, part of us is just like, fuck, let's get out of the system. Let's just be as sustainable as possible. Let's not interact with the world at all. And then part of me is like, fuck, we've got to stand up. We have to battle this. We have to fucking fight this.
Yep. It's interesting you're bringing up what you're seeing in the sky and the weather because, you know, that's one of the next sort of distractions that they're going to play with us, right? Is this global warming and climate change when they've really been manipulating the weather for probably quite some time. So it's interesting. This is the beginning, right? So meaning this is the beginning of a real dark shadow of the human collective that we're going to start to move through. So it's like a circus. Like what else are we going to see? What else is going to be presented, right? And I think for a lot of us when COVID hit last year, it was such a massive awakening for so many of us that we sort of jumped out of the chute and just went crazy, right? We were like, look at this. And we didn't realize perhaps that this is going to be happening for many years, meaning this is just the beginning. We're going to see a lot more start to unravel and collapse, weather being one of them. And so I think, thank goodness for this past year and a half, because we learned from our mistakes, perhaps, right? Of like, oh, wait, maybe I need to like jog through this because there's going to be a lot more that's going to come through. So we're starting to kind of learn how we're going to navigate this for the next 5, 6, 7, however many years this is going to be, right? Do I speak up? Do I not speak up? How do I navigate the way I show up in the world? What am I focusing on? Do I focus on it? Do I not focus on it? Because it's absolutely true. What we focus on becomes our reality. But this is the crazy, amazing thing about this evolution in our consciousness globally or collectively, right? Is like, it's extremely important to acknowledge it. In my opinion and belief, it's extremely important to acknowledge it, right? I'm going to see whatever this is that's unraveling. But then the second piece is, how am I going to filter it through me? So am I going to, this is the challenging piece, is I get upset, right? Let's just say that they are manipulating the weather and there's some sort of stuff that's happening where maybe they're trying to lessen the amount of high frequency light we're getting from the sun. That's a possibility. I don't know. Maybe there's things that are coming into our physical bodies from what they're doing. I don't really know. But am I going to get distracted by that and let that kind of pull me into fear or anger and rage? Maybe for a moment. But then do I have the choice to pull myself back and say, wait a second, let me remember the bigger picture here. Right? Let me try to navigate this with as much ease and grace as possible. I get to choose. I get to choose. I get to choose. I get to choose. And what role do I play in this? Right? That's been something that's been really huge for me in this past year and a half, is what's my role here? What's my role? What am I here to, how am I here to assist humanity through this? Because my belief is that all of what's appearing and arising is going to create a lot of anger in me. I'm not going to have fear. That's an absolute not. I will not have fear, but there's a lot of anger, right? There's a lot of disgust. Maybe there's a lot of emotions that may come up, but my choice always in all of it is, I know that this passes and I know that we get through this. And I know that there are many, many humans that are doing massive work that I don't have to do. Thank God, right? I don't have to necessarily do the work that other humans have chosen to do at this time. So I know that this passes and I know we get through all of this. And I know there's a lot more to come, a lot more to come.
I want to go on that thread there for a minute, because last week I had the pleasure of interviewing Dr. Peter McCullough, who's one of your countrymen, and he's testified in Senate hearings about treatments for COVID, whether you believe in that or not. But he's one of these guys, softly spoken, a mountain of professional experience behind him, like ticks all of those boxes, like super brain, super conscious human being in the medical field, you know, for what he does. And I said to him, I said, why you? How is it you that's doing this? Because he seems so sort of timid. And he said, right person, right place, right time. He was so sort of nearly bewildered by it, but also accepting that that's his role.
I got goosebumps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we spoke for 2 hours, and the podcast actually comes out today on our platform. And, you know, it's really interesting, because speaking to him for 2 hours, we got to a space where he could surrender and relax. This is my perception. To the point, though, where he, in the dialogue, he couldn't come out and say it, but I could feel the mechanisms in him about what is happening in the world. And there was still resistance. He's like, and I'm not using his words, but my interpretation was, in my speak, I can't believe that this is fucking happening in 2021, 2020. And I'm holding myself back from saying it, because for me to say it would just, it would shock me to my core. Because at the end of when we stopped recording, I think in the recording or after the recording, he goes, the vaccine is a bioweapon. There's no other way to to put it that way. He's like, but here's a guy that's been fighting this for a year, but he's still, it felt like he's like, no, they couldn't have done that. They couldn't be putting stuff in the sky. They couldn't be taking our taxpaying money and distributing amongst themselves and making us poorer and weaker and blah, blah, blah.
I really hope you enjoyed the first half of this podcast. If you'd like to listen to the rest, please visit evolvenetwork.tv. That's evolvenetwork.tv. We'll see you there.
The information, views, and opinions expressed in this podcast should not be treated as a substitute for nutritional, medical, or other advice by a qualified professional. Guests in this podcast express their own opinions, experiences, and conclusions. Nothing in this podcast should be used to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any medical condition. Neither Pete Evans nor any sponsor endorse any views, opinions, or conclusions expressed or shared in this podcast.